Hare Krishna, our great fortune once again to hear His Grace Padmanayan Prabhu on Bhakti Shastri course addressing to all the devotees in Sridhar Mayapur, and this is day 2 of the class on 7th of January 2014, and this is the second part of the day, and we are continuing with chapter 14 of Bhagavad Gita, unit 3. Hare Krishna.
You see, we have this question to write an essay about how you are personally influenced by the mood of passion and ignorance, and how you can transcend the influence of these moods. So we have given you these items. Now we will make an analysis, general analysis, and then after that you can think into yourself how you personally being influenced and how to transcend. Transcend part we are going to discuss by referring to Prabhupada's purport.
Yes, the second part is how you develop the mode of goodness.
That's it, yeah. Developing mode of goodness means actually transcending in kind of our understanding. You will discuss that part. Okay, so any volunteers from any group you would like to present this? Shankar ji, yes, you come and enlighten us. Vaishnavanam Jatha Sambhu. This is how we want actually, you see. Students should be very much inspired. We don't have to do even any talk to find which group can come and put this show.
Again, say when anyone. Team members, raise your hands and introduce you. Your name, Prabhu?
Vikamana.
You're not asking. What we've got here is inferior scriptures, is that condoning breaking of greater principles, such as condoning the eating of meat and consumption of intoxication, and other faiths as well that give a prescribed method of which to attain a high level of God consciousness, but by performing activities in the lower modes. So we know many religions do condone meat eating, for instance. So this, from the mode, we put ignorance across the bottom. What we've interpreted this as is today in modern society, what is the prominent mode in each one of the individual items of food?
Okay, so you have particular foods and particular modes. So based on what we're allowing in our bodies, like you have this saying, you are what you eat. So based on what we're allowing in our bodies, that have a particular type of effect on our existence, our mind, activities, etc. So we shared from the 18th chapter, currently from the 17th chapter, foods which are fatty, very juicy, foods which prolong the duration of life, foods which help develop brain tissue for kind of spiritual understanding, such as milk. These are types of foods that you can consider superior, and they have a very sort of positive effect for us. And we shared that foods which are inferior or have like an inferior effect on us, foods that are very too spicy, like that, too salty, too sour, pungent, and foods also which, by obtaining the food, there's been some sort of act of violence, like that was the killing of an animal, etc. So these particular types of foods have an inferior or negative effect on our existence.
So in the group we actually included that the food at the top of goodness is actually beneath. So we should all say that.
One question is that if Michael can wrap up on this, because it's allowed.
Michael, very good at
the
end. Do what?
You
want to do a wrap up? I did a creativity. So, for association, there's an old English saying that goes, show me a man's friend and I can tell you his character, meaning we are who we associate with. So, if it's not associated with Richard Rubble, we'll be good today. So, Michael actually mentioned in that year chapter reference that says that those who share knowledge in conversation is actually in the mode of goodness. Devotee association, obviously goes without saying, is in the mode of goodness. Whereas there's a term here called prajapatis, which is in the mode of ignorance. Lectures, calming, and those who criticize others. So essentially non-devotees in the lower modes.
And just to add to that, so I remember with particular Purana or Upanishad, the conversations which share knowledge will be in the mode of goodness. Conversations which exchange and share about people's desires, that's the mode of passion, and in conversations which is just gossip and criticism is the mode of, you know, they have no particular effect on that person. Okay, so place. Places which, I remember walking into one of my friend's places, that new place, and it was very clean, spacious. Tidy, the gross, the these types of places in the mode of goodness. There's actually a reference to Prabhupada says in 10 book 2, chapter 10, verse 31. The subtle body is produced of sky, air, and water. So then therefore open air, and ample space is good for the subtle body. So that actually promotes the mode of goodness. If you have a place which is very, that has a lot of light, and warmth, and also good space. That promotes vitality and is very healthy. Inferior places which have an inferior effect will be places that are very sort of like dirty, untidy, unclean.
You just read it.
And we also, some of us, we also call Great Britain like that. In other words, there's a lot of like litter around. There's so many things, about, so many testimonies about that as well. Apart from the
So, time here, what we've got here is, we don't know the exact split, but obviously Brahma Murtha, 1.5 hours before sunrise is in the mode of goodness. As the day progresses on, we get into the lower modes, such as passion, for instance, towards the afternoon and towards the evening, going into ignorance when we had the ghost apparently come up. So, every action you do obviously finishes throughout the day, that's why your spiritual activities should be in the morning program. They should be constantly throughout the day, but they're going to be most effective during the morning program, in the early hours of the day, and that's why we allude to waking up early and having our classes early in the morning.
Some examples of superior activities, or activities will have a superior effect on our consciousness, or positive effect on our consciousness, will be deity worship, study tongues and chanting, in ethical devotion, also read about the five person atoms, you know, like that, living in the dark, sanskrit, etc. So that has a very sort of positive effect on our mentality and consciousness. And in terms of inferior activities, these are just examples, you can find so many. But in Canto 3, chapter 20, verse 41, Prabhupada talks about drooling. When you sleep, if you're drooling, that's your ghost. You know, like that. So these types of, and it's also a symptom of somebody who's very unclean. Like that. So these types of activities, I've also heard about like cutting nails, not so good at math, so many things. So all these activities have such a degrading effect on our consciousness. And because Ruchi gets his own way all the time.
Shall I
do that?
Yeah,
up to
you. It's okay, Graham. Okay, good. Right, so in birth, what we've got here is obviously those who are born in India, the very, very auspicious birth, as auspicious as can be in Kalyuga anyway. In a transcendental family, a family of transcendentalists, in a royal family, in a righteous family, in a devotee family, or in a family of Brahmins, real Brahmins. And again, here, Birya, we've got Great Britain. again, and from anything we can actually understand that one is ugly, no education, legal complications, that is obviously pertaining to a low birth of defined simple activity.
So there's different types of meditation that people do. Obviously the highest and most fully effective, the chanting the Maha Mantra, like that. I've heard about meditations where people just sit down and just meditate like on a crack in the wall. Yeah, there's all sorts of stuff like
flame of a candle.
Yeah, the flame of a candle. Everyone can meditate, meditation on the third eye. There's so many different types of meditation. Some work and some not.
So now I've been chanting mantras. Can anyone tell me what the topmost mantra is to chant?
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
But then we also went a bit into the consciousness about this. So we said, first and foremost, for spiritual advancement, not for material gain, when chanting mantras. And also, we thought for self-purification, but one other point which came up was actually chanting mantras for others, for the benefit of all mankind. We see so many prayers in the Bhagavatam from pure devotees who are actually praying for the good of mankind, to be flat in our praying for the good of all mankind, not just for himself. And chanting mantras in the inferior modes pertains to things like rituals or those in karma kanda, material benefit, and superstitious things that, you know, a family guru may have given many generations ago, and one continues to do that which isn't actually bona fide.
Okay, and finally, with samskaras, we have to split opinions. So some samskaras we've interpreted as rituals or purification, right? And then we move that, oh, maybe it's impressions. So we weren't sure. So we still had to ask the first. In terms of samskaras, for example, Krishna Sukhana, they're much more detailed than I was, but governance samskaras. I think there's particular types of stages of a person's life, they can have particular types of purificatory rites like that. Now in terms of impressions such as like Gurukul training, that would leave lasting impressions. One hopefully gets a very good positive experience of Krishna consciousness, like that. Strong morning program, mothers raising children with Shastra, okay, so one lecture Bhakti Vidyapunamaj gave, he was talking about how there's different factors that affect the child's mentality. So one of the factors is if a mother reads Bhagavatam, it will actually affect their particular type of mentality. So it can give them impressions even before they conceive that they're actually born like that. What else do we have? Steady family as well, that's good. Yeah, often children with the highest rate of asthma are coming from children with broken families. So all these types of impressions. Asthma is antisocial behavior order. So yeah. Antisocial behavior order, yes. So when children are very basically diagnosed rascals in society, most of them unfortunately coming from backgrounds of a broken family. Yeah. Most of them don't have like a stable mother and then inferior samskaras, we've got violence. I think something like the average American by the age of 11 has seen 100,000 acts of violence on TV, games, etc., magazines, you know. What have you got? Cricket. I'll let you finish up the
sentence. Anything in Great Britain.
Anything in Great Britain.
Anything in Great Britain.
And arguments, and yeah, so
not a great interpretation.
Yeah, but that's just a miracle with yourself. Thank you.
Okay, actually what I was trying to understand is that we are making a general analysis of these items. How these items are influencing people in different modes. Okay, we have got one more big list here. Huh?
Can we go?
Yeah, just 1 minute. See, when we are discussing, for example, they said, you know, samskara. Samskara means those who are grahasthas, how effective to how effective it is to have this Garbhadhan Sankar for their child before the baby is born. But for the Brahmachari, for example, he says, like we are discussing about how you can write this essay. When mother is listening to this Srimad Bhagavatam or any lecture from his guru, that helps the child to develop better consciousness when he is in the womb of the mother. Now, let us talk about a Brahmachari. In case of a Brahmachari, whether he feels inclined to study those Shastra or listen to his guru's lecture, or he still finds interest in listening to some other mundane music or mundane talk, you know, he wants to watch some mundane movies. So if you are having that sort of inclination, then you have to identify yourself which mood you are in. Okay? Then, association. Okay? Normally they explain that devotee association is best and that is desirable for us. Then in terms of, see, I'm just talking about Brahmachari, you can think like, you know, that according to your ashram, is it desirable for a Brahmachari to associate with women most of the time?
No.
Definitely not. So if I am associating and I am really very much inclined in that mood, that means there is something wrong with me. I have to identify which mood I am being influenced by. So what I should do? Are you getting me? So we are giving these items to help you analyze. Okay, when I am in the supermarket place, for example, okay, when I visit supermarket, irrespective of Brahmachari, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, Sannyas, whoever, how does it affect my consciousness? Does it make some sense? Okay, so in that way, you have to analyze yourself in terms of these items. And also you can find out some more points from Prabhupada's purport. Then you can present yourself how you are influenced by this mood of especially passion and ignorance. And when you say that how you can cultivate this mood of goodness, that thing Prabhupada is speaking about practice of Krishna consciousness, that will come and ultimately coming to the Vasudeva platform, that will see from the Prabhupada's purport. Okay, let us hear from the other group. If they want to share something with us.
Worship in the mode of, like, worshiping the demons is the mode of passion, worshiping ghosts is the mode of ignorance. So some shastra will encourage that, other shastra encourage worshiping demons. Food, we discussed vegetables, juicy foods, milk. Milk helps create great issue to help us understand shastra, that's in the mode of goodness. Food is the best, has too many spices, the mode of passion, and meat, fish, and eggs are the mode of ignorance.
The effect of eating such food, right? It makes us sleep more, it makes us do activities that are not prescribed in the shastra, how it may even lead us to breaking the regulated terms. So in that case, I need to be cautious, I shouldn't go in that area, and if you want to see that, you're off track, then that thing is that. So that's the lesson we learned from shastra. We also come back. A lot of references for the Vishnu Prabhupada, like Taittiriya Upanishad, Vedanta Sara Upanishad, Vishnu Puran, are all in the mode of goodness. And obviously some Puranas, like Shiva Puran, in the mode of ignorance. So that's how we start. And then people in that mode would go towards that particular shastra, and they are inclined towards that. The effect it produces on us is that you get into that mode. So to get above all the modes is Bhagavatam, that's why it is in our morning program. So we write above the mode. The association, obviously the devotee association is good. We try to keep most standpoint, we have to deal with the outside world. Some other examples of group of people who are not a goodness, we thought of a Buddhist, then yogis who practice meditation, they tend to be actually trying to come in the mode of goodness. People in the mode of passion, who we come into contact is when we step out of the compound or go into the city. It's going to be with people who are working a 9-to-5 job or doing a business, their attitude, that what came out, they need some results. And they want this. They hanker for that, they're looking for their paycheck, they're looking for to buy their new home, they're always wanting something. So that's where it's for them. Obviously members, girls who take drugs, they want to be in that mood of darkness, they want to sleep, and they want to be late, they don't want to work, so that kind of.
So places, these abilities of places of goodness, towns, you were kind of discussing whether it was goodness and passion, and you were saying it's kind of transitioning into passion. A city is definitely more passion, and inside the city you'll find places like bars and, you know, other all kinds of other places that are definitely more goodness. In terms of time, I'm sure we've all had this experience where in the morning time our thoughts are clear, we can really focus on spiritual subjects, and then in the afternoon it gets a little tougher, and then at night it gets even more tough. So you see the modes there. Activities, we talked about chanting, presenting cows and sacrifices, particularly activities which we're not looking for the results, we're not attached to the results, are activities in the mode of goodness. Activities in which we're doing it for some material benefit are the mode of passion. And activities in the mode of ignorance are activities which have no regard to scripture, just kind of frivolous, which we're doing out of our own mental speculation.
Regarding birth, kind of saw that people who take birth in the family of Brahma and Vaishnavas. And as Shankar was mentioning, Vaishnavas are better. So, and Prabhupada many times mentioned, and he quotes himself and his Guru Maharaj as an example of how they had the opportunity to take birth in such an exalted family. So we analyze birth from that angle. Kshatriyas would be in a mode of goodness and passion transitioning. Vaishyas also in that way. And we can analyze what are those qualities that we are exhibiting and classify ourselves. And Shudras and below, we even see Prabhupada mentioning a lot of times, dog eaters, chandalas, even below. So they fall under the mode of ignorance. So they do activities against the scripture. So, and the birth and the family lineage, they produce lots of in that. Meditation, we thought, even in the second chapter it's mentioned that Krishna still says, in the beginning, Lord created demigods, divas, and sacrifices so that they can do the sacrifices and satisfy Vishnu, so more of goodness. And 7th chapter we got to, and the 9th chapter we saw a lot of mentions of how people in the mode of passion, they tend to worship demigods, they want results, sometimes they don't trust the Supreme Lord, he will give them the results, and they think that he is a competitor, and things like that. So there's more of competition, wanting, hankering, so they tend to go to demigods. And we also see Prabhupada mentioning those who want to be with ghosts, they will worship ghosts, they will be in that mode of black magic, tantric worship, they even try to do harm to others throughout that. And worship of Kali, obviously, sometimes mentioned.
And the chanting, we took a different kind of perspective on it. We discussed how chanting in the morning is really the mode of goodness, at noon, in the afternoon, is the mode of passion, and at night, is the mode of ignorance. Sometimes my friends will post pictures of themselves of like their other friends in devotee praying, like caught in like really weird positions, like chanting around and like passed out. You know, just like that tends to happen sometimes. So you have to really analyze like my chanting the mode of goodness right now, the mode of passion and the mode of ignorance. And in samskaras we also were kind of confused whether it was impressions or rituals, so we just made it easy on ourselves and we wrote rituals and impressions. Impressions that are and rituals that are the mode of goodness or like morning temple programs, chanting around, all that morning time, and then impressions that give you a lot of passion are watching romantic movies and the more intensity more.
Thank you. Yeah, it's a good analysis. For example, you see, you don't have to consider all those 10 items when you write your personal application. Here we are making a general analysis how people are being influenced and coming under different moods in regard to these items. Okay? Now what you have to do is, you have to see yourself. Okay, for example, you say, no, you are mentioning about chanting. For example, are you chanting in the mood of goodness, passion or ignorance? You have to kind of write that challenge yourself, which mood you are in, or the food you eat, for example, and the people you associate with. Maybe somebody is not very much inclined to associate with, you know, worldly people, but he is very much attached to, you know, watching something on net. That's also an association. You are diving into the deep, dark well. So you have to mention that. Like they mentioned about, yes, I know actually there are some people, even after coming to Krishna consciousness, they still, you know, worship ghosts. Yes, in terms of, yes, it might be surprising to you. Anyway, never mind, you don't fall in that category. That's why it's surprising to you. Yeah, like, you know, still they feel, you know, if we want to achieve such and such things, such and such results, we have to do some kind of worship. Well, you know, for a while, just, you know, do it, get your job done. Then again, I can follow Krishna consciousness.
Is that like worshipping your grandparents and stuff like that? Is that like worshipping like your family members that have passed away?
Mm. Yeah, that's also there. But I'm talking particularly about ghosts. In India, there are some people who follow this black magic. In black magic, you know, system of worship, normally what they do is, you know, they want to achieve something, some power, and they want to, you know, please some ghost. Normally Prabhupada is explaining, you will see that in actually 17th chapter, anyway, is coming, we will discuss all that afterwards. So in that way, what you see is your activities and your desires, the food you eat, people you associate, different times during the day, how it is influencing yourself in your personal life. Then you write the essay. Am I clear? Yes, Prabhuji.
So the essay seems to be a lot of like personal reflection.
Yes.
So even if you write something, how much kind of reference do you want in it from chapter 14? Because it seems like a very individual exercise.
And we are mentioning, we are discussing in chapter 14, you can as much reference as you can, and also at the same time you should speak about yourself.
So you can make statements about yourself and not necessarily reference it?
Of course.
Okay, thank you.
It's clear. We are discussing it in terms of 14th chapter. Now we are taking reference from 17th and 18th chapter also, because there are also some description about the moods. So because we are discussing in the 14th chapter, that's why we have put that number there. Yes.
So this is the first aspect.
This is the.
There are two aspects.
Huh.
The first aspect is,
yeah,
the ways that you are influenced.
Yeah.
The second aspect is practical ways you can develop the mode of goodness.
Hmm.
So strictly what it means is the first point addresses only mode of passion and mode of ignorance.
Okay. Yeah.
Shows that you are influenced by mode of passion and mode of ignorance.
Yes.
And second, how you come to that mode of
goodness. Yeah.
How to develop.
Yeah, how to develop that.
Actually, the third one is also there, how to transcend mode of goodness itself. That is not in the question.
No, that's not in the question. That part you can see it like that. Okay. If it becomes more easier for you, then just change the second part of the question. How you can transcend the modes. Just change that part. You write how you are influenced then you give the solution how you want to transcend the moods, the influences.
Is it goodness? Can even goodness will be influenced?
Of course. See, try to understand this. If you are influenced by passion and ignorance and you are trying to transcend, it doesn't mean that you are trying to come to the mood of goodness. If you say you transcend the mood of passion and ignorance and come to the mood of goodness, at least you are trying and you have understood that if I come to the level of goodness, it is easier for me to practice Krishna consciousness. That seems to be the more practical.
The transcendent form, you have no idea what it is.
Very good. So, now we will keep it as it is. Okay? You try to come to the mood of goodness, where you feel, see, this is what it is like, you know, not that I just impose something on your head. No, you also feel comfortable with what you are going to write. So you have to mention that when you are coming to the platform of mode of goodness, that actually helps you to practice Krishna consciousness better. For example, Srila Prabhupada, he is mentioning in his purport to text 15. Srila Prabhupada is writing in his purport, therefore, those who are actually serious about human life should take to the mood of goodness and in good association transcend the mood of moods and become situated in Krishna consciousness. This is the aim of human life. You can see 15, text number 15.
Which
15.
14,
we are in 14 definitely. Okay, so you can now see in your leisure time personally, and if you need further assistance, I am available. Now we are moving forward. When do we need to submit this paper? When is your closed book test?
Next week.
Friday. Next Friday.
No,
following Friday, I think. Yeah, following Friday. That is 17th, right? 17th. You have to submit it on 17th. On the closed book exam date. Okay.
And how many words to
be? How many words you have been writing? 1000? No. You see, we have a standard. How you have been writing other essays?
400 to 500. 500.
Just maintain the same policy.
I get a worse grade at 500. I get a better grade at 1000.
Okay. Okay, just right. Okay, so now cultivating goodness. See what Prabhupada is saying. Can you read this out?
The permanence of some certain mode of nature is manifested in one's dealings, in his activities, in eating, etc. All this will be explained in later chapters. But if one wants, he can develop by practice the mode of goodness and thus defeat the modes of ignorance and passion.
Although there are these three modes of material nature, if one is determined to be blessed by the mode of goodness, by transcending the mode of goodness, he can be situated in clear goodness, which is called the Vasudeva state, a state in which one can understand the science of God.
So if you say how you can cultivate, actually our practice of Krishna consciousness is helping us to cultivate this mode of goodness, ultimately helping us to come to the transcendental platform even. So Srila Prabhupada is making some suggestion to his purport to the last text 27. If you go to text number 27 in purport, Srila Prabhupada is saying something. I think I have put that slide here also. Yeah, this part, you see what he's saying? This is transcending. Devotional service to the Lord is very simple. One should always engage in the service of the Lord, should eat the remnants of foodstuffs offered to the deity, smell the flowers offered to the lotus feet of the Lord, see the places where the Lord had his transcendental pastimes, read of the different activities of the Lord, his reciprocation of love with his devotees, chant always the transcendental vibration, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, and observe the fasting days commemorating the appearances and disappearances of the Lord and his devotees. By following such a process, one becomes completely detached from all material activities. Sometimes you may be inclined to perform some material activities you want to become free from. Okay, this is the process. We're discussing about sometimes we are influenced by some activities also. Anyway, so then the rest of the part in this chapter, starting from 20, 1 minute. 21. Actually, Arjuna, he is asking similar type of question which he had asked to Krishna in second chapter. Anyone of you remember what did Krishna, Arjuna ask to Krishna in second chapter? Sita prajnasya ka bhasa samadhistasya kesava. Sita dhikim pravaseto kim asita brajeta kim. In that question, Arjuna is asking sita prajnasya ka bhasa. So what is the symptom of a person whose consciousness is merged in transcendence? What is the symptom of such a person? What does he speak? What is his language? How does he speak? What is his language? Ka bhasa. And how does he walk? How does he sit? So, he just asks in general. Now, after listening how these moods are binding, Arjuna is coming out with another question in terms of the moods. He is asking, Kair lingair strin gunan etan atito bhavati prabhu. My dear Lord, now you please explain to me, such a transcendental person, how can I recognize what kind of symptoms he would manifest when he has transcended these moods? What are the symptoms? And kimachara, what are his activities? Katham cha etan trin gunan ativartate, and how he transcends these moods. Then Krishna goes on explaining in next verses, set of verses from 22 to 25, where in 22 he explains about these qualities which are perceivable by the person himself. This prakasam cha pravrittim cha mohameva cha pandava na dvesti sam pravrittani na nivrittani kankriti. These qualities are perceivable by the person himself who is actually trying to transcend the moods. Then the next three set of verses, these are the external characteristics recognized by others. So that is just for your personal reference. And if you see the translation and purport, that will be very much clear and evident to you. Then in text 26, Krishna says, Mamsa jo bhavicharana bhakti yogena sevate svagunan samatityaitan brahma bhuyaya kalpate. So what is that Brahma platform? Again it will be explained in the chapter 18th also, that Brahma Bhuta platform. According to Balde Vidya Bhushan's analysis, that Brahma Bhuta platform means soul is acquiring these eight characteristics also, eight qualities, what we saw in the first place in today's class. Anyway, yeah.
In that verse 22 to 25, One of the qualities mentioned is does not desire to enjoy the body, nor does he desire to get out. So it's first paragraph, last but the fourth line. Now many times we hear that we should get out of the material world. The material world is not a good place for a gentleman, like that. And yet it says that devotee does not, the person who wants to transcend the mode, he does not desire to even get out of the body. So it seems a little contradictory.
Sargata Bharga Narakesu Apitulya Tadarsina. A devotee is never ever conscious about his personal situation, whether he is happy or he is distressed. Like we see this narration from Srimad Bhagavatam, there is a story of when Krishna, he was, he manifested this pastime of, he is affected by fever, and he told Narad Muni, if I can get dust from the lotus feet of my devotees, then I will become free from my fever. Then Narad Muni, he went on searching different devotees and he went to Dwarka, right? He said, Krishna is sick. He needs dust from your feet. Would you like to give? That will help him to become free from his fever. No, we cannot give. Then Narad Muni, he went to Vrindavan and he asked to the gopis, would you like to give the dust from your lotus feet? Oh yes, how much do you want, Narad Muni? Take whatever you want. What? Do you know what is going to happen to you? So what? What is going to happen to us? Are you will go to hell? Are Baba, whatever happens to us, at least Krishna will get cured, no? That's the highest level of devotional service. Of course, we cannot compare ourselves with the gopis. That's why sometimes you find there are, two different types of descriptions come on and off in Shastra. So we have to understand in which relation what is spoken and what is my position, what is my situation. I am just a new bhakta. I am still hankering for a piece of pizza. So we have to understand our situation and, practice accordingly. So if we go to the end quote for today's lesson, somebody can read this out.
Process of devotional service beginning with hearing, chanting, remembering the prescribed 9 methods for realized devotional service should be practiced through the association of devotees. Gradually, by such association, by the influence of the spiritual master, one's material desire to dominate is removed, and one becomes firmly situated in the Lord's transcendental loving service.
Srila Prabhupada ki. Thank you all very much. We'll meet. Oh yes.
Prabhu, the second essay, is this question number 3? Or is it too early to talk about this? Or
definitely this is too early since you have asked.
Yeah.
We can tell you question number 3, yeah.
There was some information circulating.
Yeah. Don't worry, this is very simple, man. Just writing an essay. You try to understand one thing, Prabhuji, I am telling you. When Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita in the battlefield of Kurukshetra, what is this? Does it mean that just Krishna was occupying the place of a big guru and he is just sharing some kind of a big philosophy to Arjuna? No. There is some real activities involved. Right? Now, Arjuna in the very, crucial moment, he has to fight, he needs to, execute his duty, responsibility, and Krishna is speaking to him. So similarly, we are doing something, some activities are going on in our personal life also. When we listen to Bhagavad Gita, we should be qualified enough to absorb those philosophies and apply to our personal life so that we are also not lazy or we are not behind. We are coping up with our life. That is what it means. starting Bhagavad Gita. Yes. Okay. Thank you very much. Michael?
What does it mean that the nine gates are illuminated with knowledge? The manifestation of the bird of goodness can be experienced when all nine gates of the body are illuminated.
Yeah. So, what's your question? What is the meaning of gates of the bodies are illuminated? What does Prabhupada say in the purport?
He mentioned how someone in goodness, they know, they can see things clearly, they know what's going on. They eat the right thing.
This is what it means. Very simple thing. Your gates are illuminated means, for example, you know, you have these, you know, different gates in the body. They are meant for a particular function. And if somebody uses it for some other function, then, for example, you know, we can discuss this here very openly. You know, one time one devotee asked such a funny question to a sannyasi. He says, Maharaj, can you tell me what is the use? How can a sannyasi use his then tells him Krishna service? So what is this? Why are you asking this question to a sannyasi, man? He says, Maharaj, no, this is just to, you know, clean the body Krishna has given to us. We have to use it for just for, you know, to evacuate this, you know, unclean water from our body. That's how a sannyasi is supposed to use it. Of course. In case of a grahastha, he might use it to beget Krishna conscious children, but not using it to commit further sinful activities. Gates are illuminated. Very simple. Okay. Before Krishna Swarupa Prabhu announce, I don't know what he's going to. So, Michael, he has got a few forms. Those forms are regarding. Anyway, let Michael announce it, please. Yeah.
Krishna, just really quickly, Tadamakanana Maharaj has requested some feedback from some Bhakti Shastri students. He's dealing with like the future of Mayapur in terms of management, community ideas, etc. Remember, he was brainstorming with us in Nectar Devotion. So I have, I think, about 6 or 7 copies, and he's requested to have them back by lunchtime, which is in half an hour. So, Chandra, how long did it take to do?
All of 10 minutes.
10 minutes?
Just 10 minutes, yeah. Very quickly. Yeah. So if I can just hand it to some of you devotees, they're happy to fill that in. A little service of Kadamakananda. Thank you.
So last year we have discussed something, and then I had informed you. Remember last year?